evening. I'd like to call to order tonight's meeting of Bethlehem City Council for Wednesday, January 2nd, 2019, at 7 p.m. here in Town Hall. If you'd all rise for the invocation by Rabbi Michael Singer, followed by the Pledge of Allegiance.
Av HaRachamim, compassionate Father, on the cusp of this new year, as we begin 2019 together, God, please bless all who serve this wonderful city of Bethlehem. Its fire department, police officers, emergency responders, as well as our mayor and our city council who do the people's business. Please, God, bless their work. May we always have at heart those of the diverse city who represent and who live here and work here in all of its beauty and its challenges. May God bless the council and continue to have a wonderful, happy, healthy, good new year. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Rabbi. The clerk will please call the roll.
Mr. Callahan.
Present.
Mr. Cologne.
Present.
Mr. Martell.
Present.
Ms. DeGro.
Present.
Mr. Reynolds.
Present.
Dr. Van Wert.
Present.
Mr. Waldron.
Present. We have no minutes for approval this evening. Under first public comment, we have one name signed up this evening. It's Tyler Buck. Reminder to all the speakers, if you'd please state your name and address for the record.
Sure, my name is Tyler Buck, and I live at 19 East 3rd Street on the south side of Bethlehem. City Council, Mayor, I am here to talk to you about the H2O Hookah Lounge for the second time inside of a year. We came and spoke with you last spring. Since then, I have to say we are extremely grateful for the increased police presence around H2O since we last addressed the council. Unfortunately, the additional enforcement has not been able to reverse the trajectory of serious violent incidents that have been occurring at this location throughout the last year. Most notably, in early May, an altercation between two H2O patrons ended with one of their heads being smashed through the quarter-inch tempered glass storefront of the Tomoko cigar shop next door. On August 28th, an employee at H2O was stabbed in the arm by a patron, and on December 26th, the day after this past Christmas, a shooting involving armed H2O patrons resulted in the hospitalization of one man, three shots hitting civilian vehicles, and one shot hitting the Domino's, which had the employees actively working there at the time. That shot also was fired about 10 feet shy of my own personal residence, so a bit scary. I wanted to note that Domino's and the Tomoko Cigar Shop are losing business because the H2O patrons are in front of their businesses during their hours of operation, often behaving loudly and or aggressively. And other businesses in the area are also being impacted by this developing reputation for violent crime. We don't want Lehigh, for example, to develop a temple-like reputation for campus safety. This problem does not have to be endemic to this type of establishment. Just over one block away, there is Essence Hookah Lounge, which has nearly identical clientele, business model, and operating hours, but does not share any of the same issues. The security guards hired by this establishment are not enough, and the police know it because they spend time nearby frequently. Many of the security guards, though, are clearly personal friends with patrons, which contributes to the atmosphere of violence. However, there are opportunities for intervention. The following are actionable transgressions that are consistently overlooked by police in the area, even when they are one parking lot away. Patrons carry open containers of alcohol through the parking lot across the street and on the public sidewalk. These are to be used for the Bring Your Own Booze program, or whatever that is, the license at H2O, and they routinely abuse this by carrying open containers on public sidewalks, which is illegal. Additionally, We know anecdotally that they have admitted minors, presumably based on how attractive they are, including at least one high school-aged girl. And finally, they are routinely in violation of 717.01, which is just plain old noise complaints. After speaking with the council last year, Chief Luzio assured us that if we spoke often enough with police that these noise complaints would be registered, and it was only in December of this past year that I found out from a dispatcher that the vast majority of calls we have made were not registered as noise complaints because we needed to speak face-to-face with a police officer, something that was not indicated to us by any party previous to that time. I urge the council please to take additional action before this becomes a place of violent crime, you know, year-round and week in and week out, as it was already approaching. My roommates and neighbors and I live and work in this community, and we love watching it grow and develop. It's a vibrant cultural center and an important part of our city, this south side right in the Arts Quest District. We're undermining all the investment in this region, and so we urge the council to join us in the effort to protect the visitors, residents, and local businesses from the escalating violence which surrounds the H2O Hookah Lounge and its patrons. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Buck. I appreciate your comments and following up with us, and our Chief DeLuzio is here as well, and I'm sure he'd be willing to speak with you. And I don't know, Mr. Mayor, would you like to make a comment?
I'll make a comment, and maybe the Chief wants to add some additional comments. We discussed it this morning at staff. So the Chief, the zoning ordinance, we're looking at zoning ordinances, we're looking at the noise ordinance, we're looking at a variety of things of enforcement, because it is a problem. I don't know if the Chief wants to make some additional comments. The problem came from Allentown, in a sense, but it's been ongoing for a while, so you're exactly right. But
what we're finding happening and is when the bars close at 2 o'clock, BYOB clubs or after-hour clubs continue to operate because they don't come under the control of the liquor control enforcement. They don't have a liquor license. With a liquor license, you have to close at 2 o'clock. Now, we do have an ordinance in the city. In reference to them, we're going to be working with permits, licensing, and zoning in reference to that. There is a, in the Crimes Code, a section 6504, public nuisance, that I'm checking with the district attorney's office on how we can apply that to a business at this point. It's usually used for other types of situations. Our problem here is when the bars close all over the valley, this is one of the few places that are left open, so you get the people that come to these establishments, and they don't close till 4 or 5 in the morning, some of these places. And you do bring your own alcohol. You just pay for glasses, ice, inside. So they're not legitimately selling alcohol, so they're immune from many of liquor control enforcement regulations. We did check with LCE, liquor control enforcement on these, and that creates a problem. This is a gray area of the state liquor law, and it's a gray area across the, when you look at issues across the state, even in Pittsburgh, I looked at regulations out in Pittsburgh this afternoon in reference to after-hour bars and also this BYOB things. They have the same issues we do. It's something that needs to be addressed at the state level for liquor control enforcement. This weekend, you will see a bigger presence. There are police at the bars. That one and Essence, we have 4 of them in the city right now. The 2 on the south side are the only 2 we've had major problems at so far on 3rd Street. Essence isn't immune from it. We've had problems there, and we've had problems at this one at H2O was the most recent. Everybody involved in the shooting at H2O, of course, wasn't from Bethlehem, they were from Allentown at this point.
Thank you, Chief. Obviously, this is a circumstance where there's perpetual violation of common decency in the neighborhood, and if it requires a change in the ordinance, I'm sure that's something City Council could get behind and support.
That's what we're reviewing right now, and I talked to Ed Healy today about that and other ordinance that I had emailed him on. And it's something we want to look at to see if we have to update it. Because that ordinance was in 1999. Maybe Attorney Spurk was more familiar with it. That's when it was adopted by council, the BYOB ordinance. So we may have to update it to make it enforceable under 2019 rules.
All right. Thanks, Chief. And I don't know, maybe I can encourage you to touch base with Mr. Buck this evening just to have an action plan moving forward so that there's no miscommunications. Thank you. Is there anyone else who'd like to speak on any subject not being voted on this evening? Mr. Gallagher?
Thank you, Council. Thank you for the opportunity to speak. Ed Gallagher, 49 West Greenwich. Always fight the good fight, gang. I have a Bethlehem moment to read, but before that, two things that I'd like to mention. Everybody remember December 4th, meeting with 3 hours on 2 West Market and another hour on 306 South New. I'd like to suggest something which for me, and I think for other people who are in contact with me, might help bring some closure to the 306 South New portion of the meeting. A mistake happened there on the part of the city, and the representative of the city did not duck the issue, accepted responsibility, didn't bob and weave or anything like that. Mr. Cologne asked if there would be a review of procedures so that this kind of thing wouldn't happen before happen again, and the representative of the city agreed that would happen. Almost a month now has passed since then. You guys were put in a tough position, as several of you said that day. You don't want to be in that position again. So I'm wondering if you requested or would request from the city a kind of report on that review of the procedures. I didn't quite understand the original procedure, but something in the original procedure would have to be changed so that this kind of thing didn't happen again, like a big stamp on the file that comes in that says this is HCC related or whatever. But I'm wondering if council should have requested or could request something like that, so that you guys are sort of sure that a procedure has been put in place where this won't happen again. But I can tell you, people in the public, people in the cheap seats who aren't here today, but who are in contact with the gadfly, would like some closure on this. My God, 4 meetings before the final meeting in which the 306 thing was agreed upon with HCC, then we go a couple of years and then it ends kind of like this. Please don't let that happen again, people are saying. So I'm even suggesting something public that you know, the people who are sincerely involved in this and have come to all those meetings and seen the things go through know that a procedure has been instituted, a review has happened, and we won't have to go through that again. Second thing, and I guess for you, President Walden, I would hope you would review with council about decorum. We've had a couple of things in the past 2 meetings in which I think at least once decorum was clearly breached. Council members addressing each other and even looking to talk to people in the audience. So we have Robert's Rules that has guidelines about this kind of thing, and I think we went over and came close several times, and I think council needs to be refreshed on those aspects of Robert's Rules. Bethlehem moment number 4. Gallagher's the scholar, and the scholar in me always wants to go back to the beginning, like the first Christmas here, and start these moments coming up. But I'm obviously not doing that. I'm grabbing them where my interest is for what's happening. So I went back and looked for the original zoning ordinance. Bethlehem moment number 4, a Bethlehem moment, February 24th, 1926. On February 24th, 1926, the Bethlehem version of the Open Range Wild West ended. the new sheriff in town, 2 years in the studying, was Bethlehem's first zoning ordinance, whose purpose, in the exact same words of our zoning ordinance today, was to preserve the health, safety, and general welfare of the community. If the zoning ordinance was Wyatt Earp, the real estate board was the villainous Clanton family. The ordinance was ready to go in November 1925, but the real estate board succeeded in getting it delayed till the next council took office, you know, hoping for a better group up there, a more affirmative group. If this ordinance becomes law, Bethlehem's industrial growth is at an end, they said. Commercial interests constitute the lifeblood of the city, they said. Taxes will rise, they said. You can sewer us up, but don't zone us, they said. The ordinance is so lengthy, complicated, and obscure, it's utterly impossible for even the most intelligent man to digest, they said. The real estate board generated a large crowd that turned an informational meeting heated, so the headline in the paper said. They claimed that 98% of the businessmen on the west side were opposed to zoning. On February 15th, the day of the first reading, a petition to abandon the ordinance signed by 114 residents was delivered to City Council. On February 24th, the day of the second reading, the board presented a 10-point manifesto, climaxing in the claim that the Board of Appeals was open to favoritism and discrimination. But the ordinance prevailed. As one wise head remarked at the time, more property values are destroyed for lack of zoning than by fire. That's a great line. More property values are destroyed for lack of zoning than by fire. Bethlehem moment number four.
Thank you, Mr. Gallagher. Is there anyone else who'd like to speak on any subject not being voted on this evening? Mr. Antalix?
Stephen Antalix, 77 Ridge. Following up on that fine scholar's comments, at past meetings we've seen a little discrepancy or differences as to how developers fare in this city. Is the city promoting, rather the council promoting or not promoting? So we had fact and alternative fact. So between fact and alternative fact, what's the truth? So the truth might lie in what occurred. The property on 4th and Vine Street, proposed by a developer, was approved by council, and that approval violated Ordinance 1714. Council approved the building at 304 South New. That building also violated Ordinance 1714. The parking garage also proved deemed necessary to support the building at 3rd New also violated Ordinance 1714. So the question is, ordinance is designed to protect the welfare of the community versus developers didn't work. So where's the truth? I think it's clear the truth is. The top floor of the 304 South New Street building represent confusion. But the resolution of the confusion gave the developer what they needed in violation of the resolution. So I would receive a flyer attend a meeting at 304 South New Street. And the topic was the renewed preservation of South New Street. In attendance were primarily young students, wide-eyed, totally unaware of these previous discrepancies and being told something which to me was pie in the sky. And I almost felt obliged to get up in the chair and say, wait a minute, do you want the truth? But I didn't. But what struck me was the irony of the incident. I'm in a building which broke the law, telling these people in the building how they were going to preserve the law. You're getting into the theater of the absurd. It doesn't make sense. So whose interests are best served in this community? The law or the developer? So that should have helped the members on council who are at odds as to where this should go. Also, the resolution concerning historic violation, which was voted down by council and then with a 5-2 vote and then re-voted 5-2 in favor of, I'm talking about the restaurant. And there seems to be evolving this 5-2 vote. I alluded to this some time ago, and the resolution, on 2 West Market came to 4-3, close to 5-2. Because one member of council decided to side with the 5-2 people. And I've said before, as nature proved my point, at least in my thinking, that those two voters are caretakers. And maybe someone in council saw the light. So what I'm making is, I hope you got the message as to whose interests are best served by this council.
Thank you, Mr. Antalix. Just a couple points to clarify. There's no ordinance on height in the south side. Those are HCC guidelines. And all the recommendations have come from the HCC, which are the experts on historic preservation that were passed by council. So all of those recommendations came to council. We passed them. The HCC were the ones who set those guidelines, not council.
I care to disagree.
Okay.
It's very simple.
We'll leave it there. Thank you.
Very simple.
Is there anyone else who'd like to make a comment?
You can address me. I should have the freedom to address because you're calling me wrong. So let me finish.
Be fair. You're finished.
Are you going to be fair?
Talks.
You should have made a comment to me, about me rather, without my ability to respond. So be fair. I'm going to respond. So call the police and have me hauled out of here. Or get your or put your trap door in operation.
Oh, it's not working.
So I'm going to finish.
Do I have a choice?
I'm going to finish.
Okay. Thank you. Is there anyone else who'd like to make comment?
Ordinance 1714 is an ordinance that said no buildings in that area in historic district should be more than 4 or 5 stories high. That's the point I'm making. You have 3 buildings higher than that. So that voids what you just said and corroborates my comments. Okay, thank you.
Which are the HCC recommendations that council followed. Is there anyone else who'd like to make comments on any subject not being voted on this evening? Seeing none, is there anyone who'd like to make comments on any ordinance or resolutions to be voted on this evening?
Mr. Walker, I don't know the appropriate time, I just want to ask it.
I would say new business.
Okay, thank you.
Is there any old business for members of council?
Yes.
Dr. Van Wert?
And I'm not sure if this would fall under old business or not, but I just wanted to bring up, it's kind of ironic, I think, that there was a speaker tonight who brought up my concerns about following Robert's rules, and...
That would be new business also.
It would be? Okay, then I'll wait.
Communication 6A.
A memorandum from Human Resources Director Michelle Sahaki recommending a contract with Preferred EAP for Employee Assistance Services. The term of the contract is January 1st, 2019 through December 31st, 2019, and the fee for the contract is $14,300 a year.
Resolution 10B is on the agenda. Communication 6B.
A memorandum from Robert Novotnik, Emergency Management Coordinator, to which is attached a proposed resolution to authorize the mayor to adopt the City of Bethlehem Emergency Operations Plan dated January 1st, 2019, which has been developed to outline basic operations and procedures to be implemented in the event of an incident, either man-made or natural, that requires a coordinated response.
Resolution 10C is on the agenda. This evening, I'd like to take a moment to thank our Information Service Bureau, particularly Jonathan Paulson, JP, for the logistics for City Council meetings to be recorded, beginning with this evening's meetings. The recordings will be on YouTube and the city's website starting tomorrow, and moving forward, the day after each council meeting will be posted on YouTube. To view the videos on the city's website, please go to the city's website and click on quick links, and the city council meeting and agenda documents will have a link to those videos. We intended to have a trial period of a few meetings to feel out how this new system was working with a camera mounted here. There's a new logistical complication of an added step here with a computer for the clerk. So we wanted to get a feel for that before we went live. And after a few meetings, I wanted to talk to members of council as well as our Information Services Bureau and get some feedback on how that was working before we made the commitment to go live and make sure everything was in line before we made that decision. So currently these are being recorded. The next day they'll be posted online and then they'll be archived there moving forward. This evening I'm also going to deliver my 2018 President's Report. And the year 2018 began filling the vacancy on City Council that was created when former Council Member Eric Evans, who's not with us this evening, was selected by Mayor Donches to serve as Business Administrator for the City upon the retirement of Dave Braun. At a special City Council meeting on March 1st, Council appointed Dr. Paige Van Wert to fill the vacant City Council seat until January of 2020. During the last year, I had the honor of serving as President of City Council. The following bullet points, which I'll run through here, we achieved as a council. City Council implemented concepts establishing in 2017, such as establishing Article 349, economic development, reporting and evaluation, creating the Financial Accountability Incentive Report, the FAIR program. The first FAIR hearing occurred in October, and the respected hearing reports have been posted on the city website. In coordination with the mayor, three working groups comprised of city representatives, interested citizens, and community stakeholders met to address climate action planning, municipal social media and communications, and development of the city open data program. Members of council met with the Pennsylvania State Ethics Commission at a committee of the whole meeting to receive ethics training required by Article 104. Members of the administration joined the council member at the training session in Town Hall. In 2018, Information Service made the audio recordings of City Council meetings available on the City's website. City Council also expressed interest in video recording the City Council meetings and posting recordings to the public to view at their convenience. Video recordings will commence at the first meeting, as they have this evening. City Council authorized the sale of the Redevelopment Authority property and rezoned the respective parcels bordering by Conestoga Street Route 378 and 143 West Broad Street in the connection with the proposed Skyline West development of luxury apartments. Also included among legislation passed by City Council in 2018 were ordinances to establish three new articles in the City of Bethlehem that included Article 744, Marijuana Possession, Article 746, Consumer Fireworks, Article 1122, Appropriate Mental Health Services and Appeals Board. Council authorized the city to transfer to ArtsQuest the initial and subsequent gross terminal revenue distribution of $250,000 annually from the local shared assessment within the State Treasury, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, for the purposes that are funding the redevelopment of an existing arts and education center that has had a professional artist space and studios that is located within the city of the third class that is located in two counties of the third class. The members of council approved several changes to the city's zoning ordinances and adopted to amend the first floor uses of the CB and CL district, maximum building coverage in the RT district, redefine the definition of a hotel, define the definition of a CRIS and CRIS lot requirements, amend the maximum percentage building coverage in the CB district, and prohibit a fast casual restaurant with a drive-through in the CB and CL districts. In addition, council adopted an ordinance to amend section 1304.04 of the zoning ordinance to enable the conversion of a single-family dwelling to an office use by special exception in certain limited circumstances in the RT and RG zoning districts. In the areas of parks and recreation, City Council authorized an application for a PADCNR grant in the amount of $1 million for the renovation of the Memorial Pool Complex, and the city was awarded the grant in October of 2018. Which was announced by DCNR Secretary Cindy Dunn visit during her trip to Bethlehem. Upon recommendation of the Finance Committee, an ordinance was adopted to finance the capital improvements of the municipal golf course, such as improving and extending the car paths, paving the parking lots, bunker renovations, constructing a permanent pavilion, replacing the old barn at Ilex Mill Road that houses the maintenance, to name a few. Further, following the recommendation from the Parks and Recreation Committee, City Council also authorized a new 7-year lease with the Clubhouse Grill for the restaurant facility. City Council conducted 21 committee meetings, adopted 41 ordinances, and over 250 resolutions. City Council amended the 2019 non-utility capital budget by reducing street overlays and eliminating the expense of an artificial 40-foot Christmas tree. City Council voted to add $100,000 to Rose Garden improvements and $40,000 for a pedestrian bridge feasibility study. In closing, I'd like to take this opportunity to thank my colleagues for their cooperation in 2018. I look forward to continuing serving members of council, the administration, city employees, and the residents of Bethlehem during 2019 as I enter my second year as council president. I also want to make a couple general remarks, which I'm sure some other members of council would like to jump in on once you get to new business, about some of the accusations of some of the rules of Robert's rules and my opinion on that. I spoke to Mr. Spurk about it, and I went back and I did some research on some of the minutes, some of the things that were said by members of council, by members of the public, and I just don't see a lot there as far as violation of Robert's rules. Personal attacks, I think, is a term that's getting thrown around for political reasons. I think there's a healthy debate, and I think there's respect for each other on council. We may not agree with each other, and that's fine, and that comes down to the vote sometimes, and I'd like to think that we can move forward professionally. But I think there is a decorum here, and I don't think that there has been a lack of professionalism from City Council. There's been calls for me to gavel down other members of council when they're speaking, and I don't see myself doing that in 2019. I think that the First Amendment is strong and well in this room, and I have great respect for it to the point where I respect it over Robert's rules. I think that people should have the ability to speak their mind as long as they're doing it in a respectful way, and I think that disagreement is good because it shows different points of views and different perspectives. Again, you may not agree with that assessment, and you might think that we should follow Robert's rules to the T, but my view is that we should be able to have a positive conversation in which we respectfully disagree with each other that is not thrown to personal attacks just because we may use each other's names. That doesn't mean that it's a personal attack, it's just a differing of opinion. And another point to the rules of Robert's Rules. Any member of council can talk about a subject two separate occasions within a conversation. A third time would be at the leisure of the president of council, which I will always allow someone to do that. And then a fourth time, if you're having a back and forth conversation, would be at the vote of council. So those are Robert's Rules. But again, I give great respect to Robert's Rules, but I think the First Amendment, as Mr. Spurk would agree, in court rulings, is that First Amendment will trump Robert's Rules any day of the week. So if you want to point to Robert's Rules and say these are the rules that we're supposed to be following, I do respect those. However, I think that a healthy dialogue starts with the ability to express yourself. And if you don't like what someone else is saying, I don't think censoring their speech is the right thing. I think topping it with better speech, more accurate, or a different point of view is a fine thing to do. Just like Mr. Italics and I did this evening. And we can respectfully disagree on a different point of view, but that's part of the process, I think. So that's my report moving forward. And you can also look forward to all the city council meetings being online and being on YouTube with pretty good resolution. We're looking at the view right now, and it looks pretty good. I think Mr. Gallagher will be satisfied with it, although we might be putting your grandson out of a job. you're not in it now, but...
What side?
It's right above you there. So, again, I thank you all for your work in 2018, members of council, and I look forward to continuing the relationships and the positive work we've done for the city in 2019. Mr. Mayor, do you have any reports?
Thank you, Mr. President. Just a few points here. The State of the City speech will be given at Arts Quest March 7th. Council will be invited. Invitations will be coming shortly at 7:30. Second, we'll be sending you, unless Mr. Evans has already, the Memorandum of Understanding from Northampton County dealing with 911. That will be on your agenda for the next council meeting. Possibly you may want to refer that to committee for more discussion, but we've reached an agreement, and that will be coming to you shortly. And various elected officials have been doing op-ed pieces in a morning call, the three mayors, and the mayor of Bethlehem, who I will be in the paper tomorrow. So, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We have no ordinances for final passage or new ordinances to consider this evening. Resolutions. Resolution 10A, please.
It is now therefore being resolved that the Council of the City of Bethlehem, Northampton County, in accordance with the above cited Municipal Records Manual, hereby authorizes the disposition of the public records in the Community and Economic Development Department as stated in attached Exhibit A. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Reynolds and Mr. Callahan.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Martell?
Aye.
Ms. DeGroen?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Mr. Walton?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolution 10B.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the mayor and the controller and or such other city official as deemed appropriate by the city solicitor are hereby authorized to execute an agreement preferred EAP for the employee assistance services. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Reynolds and Mr. Callahan.
Discussion? The clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Martell?
Aye.
Ms. DeGroen?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolution 10C.
Now, therefore, be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor, Robert J. Donches, is hereby authorized to adopt the City of Bethlehem Emergency Operation Plan, dated January 1st, 2019. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Reynolds and Mr. Callahan.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Martell?
Aye.
Ms. DeGroen?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolution 10D. I'll accept the motion to consider resolutions 10D through 10F as a group.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Callahan, second by Mr. Cologne. If the clerk would please call the roll on the motion.
Mr. Martell?
Aye.
Ms. DeGroen?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 7-0. If the clerk would please read resolutions 10B through 10F.
Certificates of appropriateness under the provisions of the Act of the Pennsylvania Legislature and Bethlehem Ordinance are hereby granted for 134-136 West 4th Street to install a new box light sign, no illumination, and replace previous window stickers. 736 East 4th Street to revinyl the existing sign face. 217 Broadway to install a new sign. The resolutions are sponsored by Mr. Reynolds and Mr. Callahan.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Martell?
Aye.
Ms. DeGroom?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Under new business, I will first go to Mr. Callahan and then Dr. Van Wert.
I'll defer to Ms. Van Wert.
I'll defer to Mr. Callahan.
All right, I'll comment when you're done. So I just want to make a couple of things here. So I think ever since I can remember, maybe 10 years ago, and it's happened several times, every time there's a new council comes in, we have several individuals that come in here and ask council to be more responsive to people that make comments. And I think for the first 2-3 years I got on council, I don't know if it was precedent or if it was rules or whatever, but council never did respond back to residents' comments. It's basically our council meeting, and it's their time, their 5 minutes to give their opinion on something. And I didn't always agree with it. When I got on council, I actually told a few people on council, I told the former administration, why can't council comment back to so many people? And I think tonight, over the last few weeks, I'll get back to also, but I've been trying to do that a little bit more, and it appears some of the people don't like us commenting back for whatever reason. They don't like our argument. And I think a good example of why we probably shouldn't be doing that is what happened with Mr. Waldron tonight. He corrected a statement by a resident, and the resident came back and wanted to have a debate. This is not a debate. It's your 5 minutes to give your opinion on something. It's not your additional 5 minutes and put the council president in an awkward position to have you removed from council chambers. So to me, that just seems like a form of bullying. What I want to do is I want to say this. Number one, we are supposed to debate and have conversations and discuss things. That's our job. We're not supposed to be rubber stamps. We're not supposed to be rubber stamps for anything, especially a historical board. 99.999%, I don't ever remember, very few times when we haven't accepted the historical board's ideas or comments or their opinions. But what on those few times that it has, it's generally because it's a big project and there's a lot of discussion on it. You may not agree with my opinion or whoever else voted for, and I'm sure there's other people that were here that didn't agree with the other two or three votes. But that doesn't give you the right to accuse people of criminal activity. I mean, I heard last week someone on council made a reference that it was an illegal transfer of the $800,000 that Bedco? A transfer. There's nothing illegal. Stop with the hyperbole. I mean, if you have evidence, there's nothing illegal going on here. And to assume that, that people on council were unethical. We got a resident that comes here every once in a while. He's not here tonight. I wish he was, because I have no problem saying this to his while he was here. We got a resident who comes here. He goes on blogs and has this wonderful biography by the blogger, how great he was. Meanwhile, the guy that's criticizing the mayor and everybody on council for unethical behavior, he was fired here from the city for unethical behavior, for workplace violence. That's what it's a fact. I mean, don't hide behind things.
And you can shake your head all you want, you can disagree with it. I'm stating a fact. Go look it up. An individual, that individual who's accusing that guy over there, the mayor, listen, I don't agree with him all the time. But there's no way you're going to tell me that guy's the most moral person, decent person I remember. Like, do I agree on everything that he does? No. And I'm not supposed to. And neither is anybody else here. But to accuse him, which that individual did, and several other people, especially, you know, some people walking out, because you don't like the debate. And all I'm saying is, if someone on council says something to me, I don't mind it. I challenge you or anybody to go into the minutes and find anything where I broke decorum or anybody else during our discussion broke decorum. I would never do that. I respect everybody. I don't agree with everybody, but I respect everybody's opinion. If I disagree with you, I have no problem debating it with you. If you don't agree with something I said, then come up with a better debate and debate back with me. That's what we're here for, to have a discussion, to have a debate, to deliberate and come to a conclusion. We're not going to agree all the time. But just because you didn't, I've lost votes. I didn't go attack anybody and say it was illegal or they were unethical. I've never said anything like that. I've lost lots of votes. But stop with the nonsense. You know, that there's unethical behavior. And you know, if you're going to have blogs and post things, be honest and open. State the facts. I mean, I find that almost unprofessional that someone who's criticizing council and the mayor for things that are totally not, you know, unethical. Herman Ridge had the right to come here. That's the process. He followed the process. And just like I'm sure the residents will follow the process, they have the right to go to court now. We did our job. But don't accuse us of being unethical. And if you're going to post stuff, you know, at least be open and honest. I mean, that's the great thing about newspapers. They have a reporter, but they also have an editor and a publisher who makes sure that the story's balanced. It's not just one side issue. That's why I'm not a big blogging fan, right? I mean, this guy here, if you read these blogs, this one person, he's a saint. Never did anything wrong. He got fired here from City Hall for fighting, for punching another employee while he was working upstairs. And that's not mentioned anywhere. And that's extremely unfair. And you can disagree with me. I'm just telling you a fact. Look it up. So, I agree with President Walton. I never had a discussion with him, but I'm glad that that's his opinion, that free speech, we should, that's what we're here for. We're not here to rubber stamp anything. So I'll rest my comments for a moment and let Ms. Van Wert speak her mind.
Thank you, Mr. Callahan. Dr. Van Wert?
Thank you, Mr. President. So I do disagree. I don't want to make a mountain out of molehill. We don't have to be here all night elaborating Robert's rules. There are arcane parliamentary procedures. The reason I bring it up is I'm upset at myself for not having said something when I perceived a personal attack on somebody on council. But I do believe, Mr. Spark, that if that happens again, I'm allowed to raise a point of order. Is that correct? If I perceive it?
Sure. Anytime any member perceives a potential violation of Robert's rules, the proper way to do that would be to raise a point of order and seek recognition.
Thank you. And that's really what it is. The whole point is that I think there's a people are confusing First Amendment rights with an agreement to follow Robert's Rules of Orders in a parliamentary procedure. You can say whatever you want, but keep it within Robert's rules. It's not a way of editing speech. It's a way of containing it so it doesn't involve personal attacks on people so that we don't get bogged down in personalities and stuff like that. The things that I'm asking that we follow are that we keep our speeches at 10 minutes each. We have no personal attacks saying you don't understand something or you this. That's what Robert's Rules of Orders are about in terms of conduct. If someone is going to speak again for a second time, everyone else needs to have had their turn first. That's also how it goes. And this is not being, this whole thing that I'm bringing up, Mr. President, is not for political reasons. It's because one of the reasons I got up here was I came to a committee of the whole meeting and I was absolutely appalled at the conduct on council. I was appalled. And it's one of the reasons I decided to run as a write-in candidate. And so I do think that there are reasons that we need to follow the rules that we agreed to that are not covered by specific Bethlehem City Council rules, and those are the conduct rules within Robert's Rules of Order. So that's what I'm requesting, and I think it's a healthy debate to have about this. The only final thing I will say is, you know, last time I made a motion to table, and that's on me. I think everybody realized I wasn't trying to table this, which in parliamentary procedure means kill it totally. It can't come back up again. That's not what I was asking. I was asking for time to analyze the data I had been given at 8:30 that morning so that we could all understand what we were passing and voting, what the impact would be on the city. And I did not want to table it, but that's on me because, again, I don't have all of the terms down right. I meant to delay or postpone, but nobody spoke up at that point. We certainly adhered to Robert's Rules of Order then because we didn't have any debate on my motion to table. So I just ask that if we're going to follow it, we follow it not to the T, but with common sense and dignity so that we can get the job done up here, but apply it equally to all people in all motions. Thank you.
Any other new business from members of council?
Mr. Waldron.
Yes, Mr. Connolly.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just want to state this. I think if you go back and listen to tape, and if you look at the minutes, I don't think I referenced anybody's name. If you took it personal, I apologize. But there was a comment made about how terrible the South Side is and how dilapidated it is and run down it is because all these student housing's over there. And that some individual was moving out of the South Side because of it. I was offended by it. I mean, I think that I'm not. If it hits someone personal, I apologize. I don't mean to. It's just that I think this mayor, the previous mayor, and probably the last 10 years of council has spent an enormous amount of time, energy, and money trying to help and fix up the South Side, whether it's Hay Street. And all the new facades that are being done over there, whether it's the casino, Levitt Pavilion, Arts Quest, Channel 39, all the new lighting on 3rd, is that on 4th Street also? At 3rd and 4th Street, we spend an enormous amount of money for people to criticize our effort. The West Side gets nothing. They got $100,000, and that was a debate. I couldn't even get a second on that, so I threw another carrot in there. The West Side got $50,000, and at the end of the night they got $100,000, and they get nothing. And we are throwing enormous amounts of revenue, development, projects, CRIS, city taxpayer money in the South Side. And that's why I was offended. And I'm sorry if you don't agree with what I have to say, but I was offended. I didn't agree with what was said. And I have the right to voice that opinion. And if you don't like it, come up with a better debate. I mean, that's what we're here for, to debate and talk and discuss about things. I'm not going to be stifled. I'll ask for my two comment periods, and I hope you have a debate back with me about it. That's what we're here for. It's a great thing. That's called democracy. I think it's one of the things that you and someone else ran on, was a more open government, more. I mean, I've heard an individual that spoke tonight, I've heard him numerous times say, why do you just sit there like stones? I forgot what the comment was. That we just sit up here like stone statues, there's no debate. Then all of a sudden, I give it back a little bit because I don't agree with you. He walks out, the individual. I mean, what do you want? What do you want? You can't have it both ways. You can't. You want it, but you can't. It's not fair. So let me look over my couple other things and make sure I got everything here. I think that's it for now. Thank you, Mr. President.
Mr. Reynolds?
I just wanted to add a couple comments there. And I apologize. I think me, like a lot of people in this room, have a cough and a cold going on right now. I think that part of this conversation that we're talking about isn't even about Robert's Rules or about the First Amendment. And I think it's just from a point of view of counsel and something that I've learned over my 11 years. And there's certainly been times when I have felt or I have said things that I wish I could go back and say them differently, or that maybe I didn't say things I wanted to. But one thing I realized a long time ago when I first came to city council meetings is the most important thing in this room is the relationships that people on city council have with each other, people on city council have with the mayor and with the administration and with citizens, and the fact that we find ways to disagree to the point that if I have a disagreement with Mr. Waldron, I'm still okay with sitting down with Willie 2 or 3 weeks from now and talking about the next individual issue. I think that kind of interaction that we have, and obviously there's a lot of different personalities in city council and the administration, and there's also a lot of history in a lot of ways in these relationships. But the one thing that I think that this body would be wise to remember is both from as the right thing to do and also from a strategic way to do about when we want to tackle problems, is that we walk away from a conversation or a debate saying, hey, he feels different than I do, or she feels different than I do, but I'm comfortable sitting down with that person a month from now or 3 months from now about the next debate. Because one thing I've learned over the 11 years is that there always is another debate. There's always another issue. There's always something else. And that we do have to be able to kind of look at that. And like I said, I've certainly over my 11 years said things or felt defensive or attacked when people accused me of things, and I always didn't respond in the way that if I could look back on, I wish I would. But I think the one thing everybody can agree on here is that, you know, if I have a disagreement with Mr. Waldron, that he doesn't feel as if, like, I'm not somebody he ever wants to talk to again about individual issues. And I think that a lot of what was said tonight, it's not against the rules, or, you know, even if it's not, I think the number one thing for us to remember is just the importance of the relationships that we have with each other. And once again, that doesn't mean we can't disagree. That doesn't mean that if somebody says something, the other person can't turn around and say, I disagree with that point. But I think the ultimate question that we ask ourselves at the end of a debate, and maybe it's not that night, maybe it's after things cool down in a day or two or a week or two, is like, hey, do I think that that person I disagree with, whether or not they're an administration member, whether or not they're a citizen, whether or not they're a fellow council member, do I have confidence that that person would be willing to sit down with me and have a rational, intellectual debate about whatever the next thing is? I don't pretend that I've always done that, but I think that's the one thing I've learned, is that the biggest thing that we have here is the ability that if somebody said, oh, I saw that you and he disagreed, or I saw that she and him disagreed, is like, and we're not in this room, the question is like, yeah, but you know what though? I'd absolutely be willing to sit down and talk to him again about the next issue, or I absolutely would be willing to sit down. And I do think we should be careful about the words that we use, because sometimes the words we use can damage that ability. And I've certainly been guilty of that in the past as well. But I, like I said, I just think that that's the one question we should be asking ourselves when we have a disagreement with somebody, is next time there's an issue, can I sit down with that person for 45 minutes or an hour and have a rational debate about it? And I think that this body has done that for a long time, and everybody here cares about the city of Bethlehem. And I think that should be the goal for us. And I think if we look at that as the goal, and if we look at that as the question we're trying to answer, a lot of the other things that people have brought up tonight that are legitimate on all sides, I think a lot of those questions go away if we're more concerned about maintaining those relationships going forward. Because like I said, that's the most important thing that we have. Thank you, Mr. Logan.
Thank you, Mr. Reynolds. It's always nice to have the other statesman on council here as far as experience, kind of bring everything home and put it in perspective. Ultimately, at the end of the day,
I'm probably not an elder or a statesman, but I appreciate
it. Most experienced council member, I'll call it that. I think at the end of the day, it helps that we all remember that we're all here for the same greater good of Bethlehem, regardless of how we get to that path. I think it's important that we keep an eye on that, and if from time to time there's a little friction, that's only because there's just a difference of opinion, and we need to separate that opinion from that person, because a person is not made up of their opinions. Those are just their beliefs that they have at that moment, because they're always evolving and always changing, as mine do up here, because not everything is black and white. There's a lot of gray in between, and there's always a different perspective and a different side to every story. So I think if we keep that in mind moving forward, as we tackle some tough decisions in 2019, I think we'll be in a pretty good position because the city is doing quite well, as the mayor will touch on his State of the City speech, and I look forward to working with everybody at this coming year. Thank you. This meeting is adjourned.